The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are now tuned into Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry, Cecil Newry. I am sitting in for him today. And normally, Mr. Newry has an open line on Friday, so we are going to do basically the same thing. Before we get there, though, I am expecting guests to come in and discuss the inaugural Chinese Dragon Boat Festival taking place this weekend, August 20th and 21st at Goodman's Bay. And so just give it a few seconds to see, you know, let them sign in. And that's why I didn't cover it in the sports section, although I think we should begin to add this to our sports section. Because it looks like it's going to be fun. I want to learn more about the boats, more about the race, the competitions this weekend. I think it is going to be a great time for everyone. So until our guests arrive, let's start the show. I have a very, very special happy birthday to Miss Samara Azaiah Johnson. I got to say special, special happy birthday to her because she is responsible for one of the lights of my life, the person who eats all the cherries off my tree, who eats every mango they touch, every sea grape, sugar apple, ganep they see, and every passion fruit they pick, my little niece. Happy, happy, happy birthday, Samara Azaiah Johnson. I hope you dump that child off with us and have a wonderful, wonderful weekend this weekend. All right, so today is an open line Friday on Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry. You could call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4215. Remember, we're streaming live audio and video on GuardianTalkRadio.com. You could listen on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or Flow Channel 612. Or you could download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. All right, so like I said, it's open line. There's lots to talk about, but I can tell you what I want to talk about today. I'm going to give our Dragon Boat Committee a little more time to possibly connect. There's an article in yesterday's, that's Thursday, the 18th of August's business section of the Nassau Tribune. The title is, Too Many Taxi Plates Will Hurt Elderly, warns union chief. Now, I'm going to read from this article. On the show and many shows, you know, I've said that, listen, the taxi union has got to be one of the most powerful unions in the country, or historically was one of the most powerful unions in this country. And I imagine that upon further examination, we may find out that the taxi union itself may have been a barrier or unwittingly help to construct a barrier to properly functioning public transportation in the Bahamas. Right? After reading this article here, I don't know what to say, but I think we should talk about it. Because I think there's something wrong here, and that we need to examine it. Because as we read the article, I thought that the recent restructuring or redesign of parts of how the taxi industry functions was in an attempt to fix things. But I'm not quite sure what's happening here. So I'm going to read from this article. And like I say, it's an open line. You can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259 to talk about what you want to talk about today, some other things in the paper that I think are important to talk about. BNT says no to Andrus mining. And I got another question. What about Meguana granite mining? And I got another pressing issue that I want to touch on if I have time. The problem with, quote, please bring your voter's card, close quote. We'll talk about that in a bit. So back to this article in yesterday's Tribune, quote, too many taxi plates will hurt elderly, close quote, warns union chief. The Bahamas Taxi Cab Union president says the elderly are suffering due to the 200% increase in the government's taxi plate giveaway, and many will, quote, cry out this coming September. The headline and the first paragraph have me stunned already, because how many elderly people are driving taxis? Wesley Ferguson told Tribune Bahamas that the government gave out too many taxi plates in its latest exercise, and drivers are now suffering because the market is now saturated with additional taxi drivers. We only asked for 200 plates, but the Ministry of Transport and Housing gave out 600. So I'm going to stick a pin there and ask the question, did the union conduct a study and submit the results to the government as a part of their proposal, their attempt to lobby the government in the restructuring of the union? Like I said, we only asked for 200 plates, but the ministry gave out 600. Did the Ministry of Transport and Housing conduct a survey to determine whether that there's a lack of taxi drivers? So, I mean, it's really difficult for Bahamians to catch a taxi sometimes, right? Sometimes. Did they do a survey? Did the government do a survey? Did they submit it to the taxi union and say, look here, I see your survey, I match it, I raise it, here's my survey, right? And our survey says that for a properly functioning taxi system, transportation system, to accommodate both Bahamians and tourists, we think we're going to need this many plates. Between June and July, reading from the article again, between June and July, the Ministry of Transport and Housing gave out 580 taxi plates. Reports indicate well above the 200 Mr. Ferguson had initially asked and negotiated for. Despite 90 of the inactive taxi plates being revoked, he said that this is still too high a number of taxi plates issued for drivers. All right, I got a text here that says, I don't know how the market could be saturated and black Bahamians can't get a taxi anywhere. Well, you certainly can't get a taxi into certain places, certain communities in New Providence. The text said it says, because of the taxi union, there was for many years, but still is, no bus service to and from the international airport. Look here. What are poor people supposed to do? So you can't be telling people, oh, well, if you can't afford a ride to the airport, then you must say you can't afford to travel. You can't be telling grown people that. In the same way, you shouldn't. In the same way, you shouldn't tell people, listen, I'm going to need you to bring a voter's card to be able to participate in this event. Like, I know you're going to say it's like proof of ID, right? Like, it's proof that you live in this constituency. But guess what? I don't have to get a voter's card to be a valid Bahamian citizen. I don't have to vote to be a Bahamian citizen. Right? I could be a legal resident and have children here. Are you not going to allow my children to participate in the community activity with all the other friends that live in the same community with them because I am a resident and not a citizen? And what about like the whole premise of the activity? The premise of the activity is to provide opportunities for those whose parents cannot provide it on their own. Little children are not responsible for their parents' actions and behaviors, and as much as possible, we try to protect them from their parents' negative behavior or action. Maybe what we could do is find another method to determine whether people are resident in that constituency. Now, I get it. There are Bahamians. There are citizens who make it an activity to travel from constituency to constituency trying to get things, right, from these events. Get that. But we have to find another method because I, as a citizen, am not required to vote to be able to participate in the things happening in my constituency. Right? I don't have to. Don't have to at all. Here's another thing. How are you going to have like a back-to-school event and invite the children to the park and then make their parents pay for things like water and snacks? How are you going to make parents, and I've only received reports or one or two incidents, right? Only received reports of one or two incidents. How are you going to make people pay for water after inviting them to a park in the Bahamas? And you know the Bahamas government owed the son plenty of money. And all the son could do is bun us up. Yep. Somebody said, Miss Green, you definitely ain't getting no talk out of Step Street. Now, look here. And see, and the misconceptions, right? Because Step Street is Congo Town. And Congo Town is old Bahamas. That's a cultural place. Got a text here that says, good morning. Let the taxi drivers continue to cut up. There is an active Uber service operating in New Providence, moving with the times. We're going to get to that text in a moment. Let's get to this caller. Good morning. You on Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry.
I'm just going. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
That's good. The taxi thing.
Yes.
I do believe 600 more taxi into what they have now
mm-hmm.
is quite a bit.
Okay, yeah.
Why I say that?
Mm-hmm.
I be down Bay Street most of the time. And most of the slots we take up on Bay Street is taxi.
Mm-hmm.
And to add more to that, then you're putting most of the drivers who probably with $100 or so for the day, you take them and put them at a disadvantage of probably nothing at all for the day.
I get you. Right.
And also the busing. I remember the minister say she went to New York the other day on some people to see how the transportation system works. And that puzzled me.
Mm-hmm.
Because transportation in the U.S. is it's not your private own thing.
Right. It's public.
So it's a public thing. And we need to get it right out here before we could say, we're going to move into this. I would suggest taking all the plates down or let them get a corporation together mm-hmm. and form a busing system, a busing company with a system.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Anyway, my dear, you have a nice day.
Thank you very much. But I agree with the call. I think perhaps if the union is calling for 200 and there's 600, they need a cost, an analysis, a justification of the jump from 200 to 580 plates. Now, the terms in which you couched it, right, that look, Bay Street, there's it's going to be ridiculous. There's a whole bunch of taxi slots. And I think in comparison, there's a limited general spots, right? There's the taxi spots and there's loading spots for businesses that are out there. But it doesn't seem like, in fact, it seems like that space is slowly being relegated to tourists, right? And people who could afford to pay to park. Yeah. That's interesting. That's very, very interesting. And then on the public transportation system, right. Well, I imagine that they are going to attempt to create a public-private partnership or create a corporation. Because I think that bus drivers should get a salary. Bus drivers need insurance and healthcare. It turns out that people who drive all the time, they need hazard pay. What they're doing to their bodies, being in that seated position for the majority of the day, has detrimental effect on their bodies, right? So they need to be salaried workers. They need to have insurance and benefits. They don't need to worry about the cost of gas because the corporation covers the cost of fuel. They drive a route. They don't go off their route. They drive a specific amount of time. They are replaced when necessary so they could take their required breaks. Bus drivers like a pilot. These things are important. The text said, it says, Aaron Green, the decision was all politics. Every PLP who pounded the pavement, it's not difficult. The New Day crew do not believe in order. Okay, there's a whole lot of politics, right? I want to continue reading this article, but I personally can't make that connection to the PLP. I'm not saying that you are definitely wrong. I'm just saying that I am too young. I am too young to know the intricacies of this space. Don't mind my family. They may know plenty of things, but that don't mean they talk to me. So let's get back to this article. Okay, so I got a text here. The text says it's important. Tell your caller it takes the person renting their taxi place. It's a disadvantage for the person who rents the taxi plate. Now, texter, I'm glad I read this text. Why are people renting taxi plates? Wasn't the purpose of this whole regime change, right? This whole policy shift to eradicate the practice of renting plates? Or is what happened the decision to accommodate people who are renting plates by adding extra plates as opposed to revoking plates from people? This is a big, look here, this is a big story. And I may possibly laugh a couple times while I'm reading it, you know, but we got to continue reading it, right? So where I left off was between June and July, the Ministry of Transport and Housing gave out 580 taxi plates. Reports indicate well above the 200 Mr. Ferguson had initially asked and negotiated for. Despite 90 of the inactive taxi plates being revoked, he said this is still too high a number of taxi plates issued for drivers. Okay, so he's saying that they revoked 90 inactive taxi plates but adding 380 to the 200 that they had requested, that loss of 90 plates doesn't create a balance. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Mr. Ferguson added, quote, "We did not anticipate or take into consideration the elderly people, the disenfranchised people, the poor and weak among us, and those people are now suffering as a result of the many taxi plates that were issued." Okay, we're going to close the quote right there for a second. I just have to ask this question. Do the majority of taxi drivers pick up elderly, disenfranchised, poor, and weak among us? Is that like your primary target customer base? Is that a coincidental customer base? Or is that not what you're talking about? You're not talking about people who are going to be put at a disadvantage because they can't get a taxi. Because more taxis plates would mean people looking for business, which would mean that maybe they're willing to drop the exorbitant rates to accommodate the elderly, the disenfranchised, the poor, and the weak among us. But let me continue reading. So we open the quote again. Now those people who were depending on taxi plate income are now the ones who are suffering, including the BTCU, because we managed a lot of those plates. Okay, I want to close quotes for a second. And this, look at these texts. Okay, I got a text here that says, I think he talking about the older drivers. Dear texter, I think he talking about the older drivers too, right? I think he talking about them as well. So when I got to the second paragraph that says, including the BTCU because we manage plates, is the BTCU managing plates for elderly taxi plate holders? Because if you elderly and your plate has to be managed by somebody, maybe you don't need a plate or cannot manage a plate anymore. And wasn't that the purpose of this whole exercise? Okay. Another text here. It says, because NASA is not a real place.com. Second text says, Aaron turned the old shipping company space downtown and converted into a bus taxi terminal and the burned business with the big tree space into public parking. Okay. All right. So by like the where the Betty Kay, you know, they're doing well, I could be honest with you, with the massive overhaul of downtown and the wharf and that whole new port construction, I imagine that there is already on the blueprint, right, a specific space designed or being designed for the transportation of guests throughout that complex and beyond it, right? I didn't know about the beyond. You know how tourism is go sometimes, but in right beyond it, the question is: has the union been brought in to these discussions? Is the union sitting at the table for the discussions for the redevelopment of downtown Charlotte and all of that? That would be good to know. Not just for my discussions, because like the text and the other shows say, I only rubbing my two pennies together, but for the people who are actually making the decisions. But I also appreciate, Texter, you putting that positive spin on the discussion, right? I appreciate that because I think a part of what the taxi drivers, what the union is concerned about and taxi drivers are concerned about the loss of revenue because of an influx or an inundation of drivers can be remedied with a better structuring of the system and operational dynamics. So like the caller said, we need a bus taxi terminal, right? Where everyone could go and catch a taxi. And maybe the bus and the taxi need to be together because the buses like to stop running at 5:30, 6 o'clock. And so people who have to work late, students with after-school activities, may need to rely on a taxi because the bus system has stopped working. Okay, so I got a text here that says, Ms. Green, the Surrey drivers are back in business downtown. And so now we have another pollution issue to deal with. This also intersects with transportation because taxi drivers are now going to have to compete with the Surrey drivers, right, for short runs within Charlotte. Within the downtown area. I see we got a caller on the line, producer. Good morning, caller. You are on Guardian Radio AM.
I'm Green. How you doing? Sealan Johnson.
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. Let me just add some input. First, I say in the news they talk about the mining and the BMT. Mm-hmm. As we talk about this, green, blue ocean economy, basically in summary, the aquamarine economy, and these carbon credits, etc., I think a moratorium on all mining and even marinas until we can have a proper assessment of the short, medium, and long-term impact. Mm-hmm. Just like the ones they're considering in Abaco and Andres Ashley. Just use an example. The cruise port that's going here in Grand Bahama is being placed smack dab in the middle of a marine protected area, the Peterson Key. One of the most delicate, troubled ecosystem, including the coral reef. They intend on digging a mile-long canal simply as a moat so they can create a private beach so behemoths and other people, I guess, would not have access to it. Just a canal that goes nowhere, right? Mm-hmm. That absolutely disturbs the environment. In that particular area, one of the final large water tables that once you dig that canal or marina will actually destroy the water table that feed and sustain hundreds, if not thousands, of acres of mine copus and swampland. Mm-hmm. And so the cascading effect for a few jobs where behemoths will be able to sell trinkets to tourists if they leave an all-inclusive environment to come through the gate to cleanly want to go somewhere for the few hours they have, because it's almost everything that's within it. So here we are for a few jobs, would destroy millions of dollars in revenue from carbon credits, destroy our coral reef area, destroy the fishing habitat of the Peterson Key area, et cetera, et cetera. And then we then look, as we cascade this through the Bahamas, we are screaming that we need to keep 1 degree temperature. But at the same time, we are destroying the very habitat. We're going around the world screaming, we want to change the world. We want to change the habits. And we're destroying the very things that is necessary to keep it at 1 degree. And right now, we have not even meet the 2 degrees landmark. So important for us to keep credibility, because in essence, it's destroying our environment. Now, on this taxi thing, mm-hmm. We have a need for public transportation. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, the need for a public transportation, an ordered public transportation. A properly ordered public transportation would actually negate the need for about a fraction of those taxis. Because if you have a bus system, a metro bus system that's run and maintained by a sovereign asset management, not government, family, friends, lovers, supporters, finances, and foreigners, influence. Mm-hmm. What we need is a sovereign asset management, is something that is run without influence, without interference of government. Mm-hmm. So what happens is, if you could have a bus system going all around New Providence, Grand Bahama, whatever, where you could literally set your clock, say, every 20 minutes, a bus will get you somewhere. So that means that even if you miss a bus,
the
worst-case scenario, you'll be 20 minutes late,
yeah.
Right? So what happens now, though, is that we have to understand, I told you, here we are talking about this green and green economy and everything else. Mm-hmm. It is based on a carbon-based system, mm-hmm. on the consumption of carbon. And so the problem then is that we can't fix this because we will not change the economic models we rely on that allows government to collect revenue except from cascading taxation of carbon-based activities.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have taxes from the cars, taxes from this, taxes from everywhere. And so this is why you see government as delayed, because clearly we can't be so unconnected to the world that we can't see a system that would work on a small island 7 by 21. And so essentially what we have is we have leadership that seemingly lack the ability to innovate and use their imagination to transform the green economy. So we dilly-dally and continuously stir the water so that we can continue to keep it mucky and milky so that they can continue doing what they're doing as opposed to seeking to correct what is going on.
Listen, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Alan. Thank you. I could be honest with you. I still stuck on the building structure because that surely is not natural and disrupts the high water mark. And then, yeah, I still stuck. I stuck on the moat, right in my boat. I see we got another caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on Guardian Radio AM.
Yeah, morning.
Morning.
I have a comment.
Yes, sir.
About first thing with the taxi, right?
Yes.
You know, the taxi's been a problem a long time because the law, but the taxi really was supposed to, how it was supposed to have been done, wasn't done.
Okay.
You had too much people owning 4 and 5 plates,
mm-hmm.
and then they was renting them out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that was a problem because I know one or two friends of mine, they rent taxi plates for like 15, 20 years. And that should not have been when
mm-hmm.
they should have owned their own taxi plate.
Mm-hmm.
So when you stop, when they hit that renting, then them people who's making a living off the income off the renting out, because I know they say plenty of stuff with council and think they own plate and own 4 and 5 plate and renting it out.
Mm-hmm.
So that hit hard. Now, I hope they ain't still leave them at them plate to rent out.
Yeah.
So they have to make sure, sort that out first. Make sure nobody be renting the plate because that's against the law.
Yeah, and that's what I thought, right?
Yes, it was against the law, but like everything else, go, whatever, buck up. They're getting away with it.
Right.
And that's why
go on.
Got a lot of people renting out the plate.
Right, and I guess, thank you very much, caller.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Yeah, okay, I got one more to comment.
Absolutely.
I think I said this before.
Uh-huh.
Only way we can get the bus system work here,
mm-hmm.
it have to be a public bus system under one company, either the government or a corporation.
Yeah.
We can't be bus place. I have 5 bus place. Because I can tell you, come hard late, babe, you ain't going to go hard late.
Yeah.
The bus them don't reach on time and all that, which is a call, previous caller said.
Yeah.
You know, it ain't nothing to do with no carbon and all this thing. Because that bus system problem was a problem a long time.
I got you.
But the only way for them to fix that, it has to either be run by the government or one corporation.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now is a good time for me to reiterate my bias or my intersection is sort of like a politically exposed person. I know that a member of my family has had a taxi plate. I have no idea the dynamics behind it whatsoever. All I know is when I said to her, listen, why you don't let me drive this taxi? She told me we can't do it. That's it. That's all I know. But I'm going to declare that, right? Because the story is far too important to not talk about it. So let's go to the next caller quickly, and then we're going to have to go to a break. Good morning. You're on Guardian Radio AM.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing?
I'm good.
I'm right here. You know, thanks for reminding us that we are, this is a global plantation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, Ms. Green, I listened to C. Allen, and Gardner said something about last week. So, you know, I realized it's something I'd read. You know, the thing is, and Gardner, it raised the conscience in me. He spoke about sustainable development and the carbon credits and all that. And then he spoke about, what about the humans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking at it as if, you know, the globalists, from the spread, the trend, I was reading the book Viral, right?
Yeah.
And everybody is willing to just spew that the world is overpopulated, right? We know we have overpopulated countries, but the world itself is not overpopulated. So hence this narrative, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I'm saying is, these are, you give me, show me, anyone to call right now, show me one example in history throughout the world where mining has been environmentally friendly and not and has not caused degradation of the land anywhere. All right, so I agree with C. Allen as far as the moratorium.
Yeah.
And also, this new euphemistic phrase, environmental impact assessment, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, if you have common sense, you could realize that it is presuppositional. The environmental impact assessment is a computerized simulation using experts to say what will happen if we do this or if we do that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do this and when you do that, then you can tell me what happens. Take, for instance, the dredging of the harbor, which might have, I don't know, I guess they say the risk outweigh the benefits. I mean, the benefits outweigh the risk, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is now you see where the dock of downtown Prince George Wharf is being filled in, right?
Yeah.
So now you call that displacement. So where do you think that water is going to go that used to be there?
Yeah.
For yourself, with the flooding in the eastern area, in the East Bay Street and all this.
So simple observation.
Imagine many other faulty environmental impact assessment. These impact assessments are not gospel, you know. This is what I hate. They spill these things to the masses as if we're just supposed to accept what they're saying, Aaron.
Yeah.
And that is frightening for me.
I got you. Thank you. Thank you, 52. Sorry we missed you, caller, second caller. Producer, now is a good time to go to a break. We're going to go to a break. And when we come back from the break, listen, I got to talk about the Chinese Dragon Boat Festival because it turns out I know some people who are going to be competing this weekend. It sounds like it's going to be a good time. You're on Guardian Radio AM with Aaron Green. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Bahamas, it's time for the third installment of Fish Fry Fridays, the hottest once-a-month after-work party, brought to you by Fassage, the Bahamas' number one party band, Star 106, and Margaritaville, downtown Nassau.
1, 2, 3, go!
Has quickly become the talk of the town. And because of such a super large turnout the last time, the venue has been expanded to enhance your enjoyment experience.
I go drink water and mind my business.
It's a happy hour like no other. So on Friday, August 26th, after work, kick off your shoes and head over to the 12 Volt Bar at the beautiful Margaritaville Resort, downtown Nassau, and enjoy the Fish Fry Friday experience with the dynamic, energetic live sound of Visage and DJ AI. Admission is $25 and includes one free complimentary drink, or enjoy the tantalizing Vacation Cafe Buffet with full access to the event for only $55 per person. Tune in to Star 106 for more details. Fish Fry Fridays.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. This is Aaron Green sitting in for Cecil Newry on Guardian Radio AM. Caller, you made it right to the opening of the show. Let me get to you, caller, and then we missed you again. I don't know what's happening there, but keep calling. Okay, so tomorrow, Saturday the 20th and Sunday the 21st of August 2022 at Goodman's Bay is going to be the inaugural Chinese Dragon Boat Festival. I had a whole bunch of questions like, are there going to be any celebrity competitors in the races? What are the races going to look like? What does a dragon boat race look like? How many teams and how many boats are going to be in the water at the same time? How many teams are there competing? I mean, is it too late to register? Do the competitors have to build their own boats? And can you build a boat or learn how to race at the event, at the festival, the festivities part? You know, I wanted to know what to expect. What I've read so far is that they're going to be performances by Sweet Emily, Sammy Starr, Julian Believe. I really want to know what types of food can be out there. You know, that's why we go to festival for food. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Good morning, caller. You still there? Seems we lost that caller. And then I have a friend who is racing on one of the teams, the Blue Water Dragons. I want to say, wish them the best of luck tomorrow. To be honest, I thought it was a rowing competition and I was ready to sign up. But then, first of all, I don't want to row with any Chinese people, so we can't do that. And third of all, it's a rowing race and not a rowing race. But it would be great, Bahamians, especially if you are a sailor, if you scull the boat, to go out and get a sense, immerse yourself in boating culture from another country, from another culture, right? I think it's going to be a great time. I got a text here that says, I have a question. How much is the prize, Miss Green? And don't eat the food without me. Well, you just got to show up. Just show up because I can be eaten, buddy. I don't know what the prize is. I was hoping to find out. I think there is going to be a prize for the winners. But it looks like it's going to be a great time. And considering the amount of resources and energy that we're putting into rowing, considering the grand success of Mr. 15-year-old Craig Ferguson, you know, we're boat people. And we should be, you know, interested in exploring boat cultures from around the world, if only in an attempt to expand our own boat culture. So congratulations already to everybody who is participating in the inaugural Chinese Dragon Boat Festival and race. And you can find more information at bcdragonboat.com. That's bcdragonboat.com. All right, let's get back to our taxi story. I got a text here that says, taxis are not a service for Bahamians. It caters to the tourists. We need a Bahamian Uber-type service for all who need a ride outside of bus routes or bus operating hours. We do. Without a doubt, we do. I can be honest with you. There was a company, it wasn't the first company, but there was a company that started advertising the service on social media platforms. It was really sleek, crisp advertisement commercials, you know. But the thing I noticed was that, the driver had their phone in their hand the whole time, and I don't think they had on a seatbelt. That's neither here nor there. But we do need a proper Bahamian Uber-type service, but we need infrastructure. We need structure. It needs to be structured. There needs to be rules. There need to be enforcement, right? Because here's, people take Uber because they don't have transportation. Here's another reason why people take Uber, right? People take Uber because they drink and they know they're not supposed to drive, right? And so we need all kinds of systems and mechanisms to complement or to be a part of the Uber-type service. But it could work. It seems like a great idea. Text, Ms. Green, how come we don't have boat making in school? That class should be mandatory. Of course it should be mandatory. There should be a mandatory history module where you learn about and then you get an opportunity to participate in an activity that older generations of Bahamians not just did, but had to do because that was the only means available to them. I can tell everybody on the planet, when my good friend LeVar Pratt told me the story that his father and his uncle built a boat to escape Long Island, to go to Nassau to find a wife. I say to myself, what an inspiring story. And every young Bahamian man need to hear that story. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, Miss Green. actually getting into rowing. It's a future for the Olympics. It's a future. As a matter of fact, remind me of the days when my people came here on that type of boat.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't learn all of that. So the Bahamas could be only number one in swimming. We could be number one in that category of rowing.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to something, hopefully. And that it might not be this Olympic, but the Olympic in there, L.A.
Yeah.
And 2028.
Yeah.
We could have some rowing, yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, and we could do well in the competition because we need to rally by water. And I think women and men could do well because you got the single, then you got the double, then you got six and things like that. So
mm-hmm.
you could be there too, Aaron.
Yeah.
You could go into group one.
Listen, they better have a lazy river competition. They better. Yeah.
So get your boat.
Absolutely. I got to go. I think I got to go out there and check it out.
Have a good day.
You too. Thank you so much. Yes, he was a smart man. That's exactly why he left. Thank you, Texter. Okay. I think there was one more text. So there's another text that says that their greatest concern are the security risks about being out at night and then taking an Uber, right? The system, like, for a system to function properly and be sustainable, there also has to be a great degree of consumer trust in the system, right? That's very important. That's very important. Okay, so back to the story. The title, the headline is "Too Many Taxi Plates Will Hurt Elderly," warns union chief in yesterday's Tribune Business section. I want to get back to reading this. Okay, so we ended with, this is a quote from Mr. Ferguson. Now these people who were depending on taxi plate income are now the ones who are suffering, including the BTCU, because we managed a lot of those plates. I don't know why. The BTCU had a long-standing agreement with some of its retired members that they would hold on to their taxi plates for safekeeping and use the revenue from their plates as retirement income for those retired drivers and their spouses. Okay, first of all, please do not accuse me of ageism. I hope to get old, have an opportunity to join the 3 score and 10 gang and be as miserable as my DNA will allow. This is not ageism. I need you to hear what I just read. The BTCU had a long-standing agreement with some of its retired members. Surely if you are retired from the BTCU, right, then you don't drive taxi anymore because you didn't retire from the BTCU because you don't like them. You're not friends anymore. You retired because you don't drive taxi anymore, right? And then it says that those members would hold on to their taxi plates. Aren't taxi plates like license plates? Like, it's yours, but it really belonged to the government and it could take it at any time? Isn't it like a passport? Like, it's your passport, but if you lose it, you got to report it lost? It really belongs to, like, you can't take somebody's passport and hold it for them and not give it back to them because it doesn't belong to you and it doesn't belong to them. It belonged to the government. The agency that issued it. The union don't issue taxi plates. And use the revenue from their plates as retirement income for those retired drivers and their spouses. So if the person... Okay, no texts, no calls. Okay, I'm going to get back to the article. This has now been placed in jeopardy with the exponential increase in taxi plates coupled with the revocation of what was determined as dormant plates. What put that plan in jeopardy is revealing it to the general public and to the authorities who are supposed to provide oversight for this space. Okay, we're going to go back to the article. The lifting of the moratorium on taxi plates was what Mr. Ferguson wanted initially, but, quote, didn't take the elderly into consideration, close quote. He added, Quote, I did my best because I was trying to get my minister or the government to actually subsidize the union so we could now purchase cars in these people's names and put it on the road. It was supposed to be like an employment opportunity where those people who want to get into the industry and don't have a taxi plate or don't have the means to buy a car can come to the union and get a job as a taxi driver. I am just saying that I thought that the requirement to drive taxi was that you had to have A, car, and B, a plate. Both of them together, not separate. We're running out of time, people. We are running out of time. Producer, I think I lost my headphones for a second. I'm just going quickly to page 4 to continue reading in the last minute. That music means we are out of time. Text says, the plates are dormant because the person who had the plate more than likely died and the children or family members did not give back the plate. I appreciate that. Like I said, I could be related to that situation, right? But that person can drive. Why aren't they driving it? Anyway, I wish I could have gotten into more of this article. I don't have the time. Maybe we get into it next week. It only gets better. It only gets better. This is a serious situation and it requires serious attention from authorities. And I hope that somebody looks into it. For the sake of the people who are relying on this income, for the sake of the people who thought that they would have access to this space, for everybody, we need to look at the situation. Thank you for tuning in with me on Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Nuri today. I will see you guys next week. Enjoy the weekend. Have a great day.